And I mean to speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But it's rather wonderful to be back here preaching. I've taken quite a lot of masses since I retired as vicar here, but I haven't preached for quite a long time. And I'm preaching most of the time in London at the moment, but there you are. This church is an extraordinary place. I've witnessed God's presence here in a way that I've seldom witnessed in other churches. Now, something of that is to do with the openness of the building, birds flying through, people here on holiday. There's a lightness about it. But of course, the local community here are living perfectly normal lives, albeit in this wonderful gilded island. But nonetheless, they are normal lives with normal struggles. And on Friday last week, we had a really good example of that. This community, this church community particularly, is open to everybody. There are no hurdles. There are no must-have beliefs. There is nothing. There is simply humanity that is coming here to meet with the divine in whatever way you imagine or the divine is for you. And for me, that is a wonderful celebration of humanity. Now, we, most of us here, will find our spiritual centre in the form of Christ. Others, of course, from different traditions, will find it differently. But ultimately, as you know, being the liberal heretic that I am, I believe that all of us are aiming for the same mountain top. We just come at it from different sides of the mountain. But we were all created by God. And weddings are a wonderful time to see that. We had two weddings, first time in my life. I've ever done two weddings in one afternoon, which thank you, Philip, for organising that. But the first wedding was wonderful. It was a local wedding, French couple. She was actually Vietnamese, but has lived in France all her life. He was French. And he was the head chef at the restaurant just here. And the church was full of their friends and family from France and from the island. And there was something wonderfully community-based about that. I would think that 80% of the people in the church don't go to church, probably. And if they did, culturally, they probably come from a Roman Catholic background. Of course, there is precious little difference between the Anglican Church and the Roman Catholic Church. But what was wonderful about that was there was a real sense that we were coming together to celebrate love. And of course, love is at the centre of our humanity. The love that we have for other people, the love that God has for us, and the love that hopefully we start at some point in our lives to have for ourselves. But the fact that there were no barriers, we weren't requiring people to sign up to any particular thing, made the whole thing welcoming and authentic. And you know, there's a true sign when God is present, or when we are present to God, that's a better way of putting it. Tears come. And you always know when the Holy Spirit is moving, when people are moved to tears. Now, of course, in a wedding that's probably more normal than not. But nonetheless, you can feel it. You can really feel it. And I could feel the body of that congregation really entering into what was happening in the marriage. I love doing weddings. I've married both my children. That was pretty special. I love doing them because it is such an extraordinary sacrament. A sacrament means a sign of the divine. Because God comes and he joins two souls together. Doesn't mean to say that they're not independent, but they are co-joined. And that, in anybody's language, wherever you come from spiritually, is incredibly sacred and incredibly profound. So that was a wonderful experience. We then had a big American wedding, which was extraordinary as well. It was a wonderful service, packed church again. But the sentiment was different. Not better or worse, it was different. It was very powerful. But it reflects the differences in our humanity, our cultures, our backgrounds, our experiences, all of that. Where do we come from? And so that is sort of demonstrates what I mean about this church. We welcome people from all over the world with different cultures and experiences and backgrounds. And that is a marvellous thing to see. It's an incredibly sort of eclectic group of people who come through this church throughout the year. That is something to be really celebrated. During my time as vicar here over a sort of 14, 15 year period, I saw people from every kind of condition and every faith background. And one of the most marvellous moments was And we had a number of what they call Messianic Jews, which are basically Jews who've converted to Christianity, but also at the same service were a couple of rabbis. Now, bear in mind that this is really difficult for them to come into a church. In the same way, I don't find it difficult, but some would find it difficult to go into a synagogue. And there was a wonderful moment when I saw the Messianic Jews just sitting behind the rabbis, and I thought, oh no, please don't try and convert them in the middle of the service. But again, it's just demonstrative of what this church has and offers. And you know, God is incredibly faithful at this place. He shows up, or she shows up. We're celebrating today the Ascension. Now, I, for one, have never really focused on that. We all focus on Christmas, we focus on Good Friday, on Easter Sunday, and then Pentecost. But actually, there is a real symmetry with Ascension. And actually, the message of Christ, the being of Christ, is summed up really in Christmas and Ascension. Christmas because in one man, in Jesus, humanity and divinity came together. And the Ascension, where the bodily resurrected Jesus goes to heaven. Now, there's a difference between the physical man that was born on Christmas Day and the resurrected Jesus that is taken up into heaven. The reason there is a difference is because we're now talking about a resurrected body. That's not to say just spiritual, because bear in mind that the resurrected Jesus ate with his friends, they touched him. So this was a new form of Jesus. What it precisely was, none of us will ever know until we pass through to the other side. But nonetheless, there is that wonderful symmetry, the coming to this earth and the leaving of this earth in a transformed state. Think about that in relation to our own lives. And again, it was Trinette who said to me years and years and years ago, she said, never forget that the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, is a story of your life. You have Genesis moments, you have Psalm moments, and don't forget that these people weren't all holy Jews. These were perfectly normal people coping with all the issues in life. And some of the emotions in the Psalms are really raw. So we have Psalm moments. We have prophetic moments. All of us have been there, and we have epiphany moments too in our lives. And remember, when Jesus was resurrected, two things that he was saying was, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And he cried out, of course, as you know, to Paul, when Paul had his conversion, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And just think about that in your own lives. Have you ever thought, why are you being so nasty? Why are you attacking me? Why are you being so overly competitive? We've all had that. We feel that. And there is a sense that those hurts are the marks of the nails in his hands and his feet. Again, there is a symmetry. We are born. We have lots of little crucifixions in our lives, some not so little. Some can be incredibly painful and damaging. But always, always, if we seize it, there is resurrection. There is always new life. There is always new hope. That is the wonderful thing. There can be no resurrection without crucifixion. That's the bad news. But there is always resurrection after crucifixion. And I love the notion of us passing through life, experiencing a lot of what Jesus experienced, and actually transformed in ourselves through those experiences. Through our pain. I remember my father said to me years and years and years ago, Charlie, you will learn nothing from success. Nothing. You will only learn through challenge and failure and pain. And that's pretty depressing. But the reality is it's true. It's true. I look back over my life and I see some of the crises, which were horrible at the time, but actually they changed me, hopefully mostly for the better. Those are the nails in our hands and in our feet. And when we die, when we go on the next part of our journey, I firmly believe that we were loved into being, and we will be loved through death into the next part of our journey. We are other Christs. We are. Christ is not Jesus' surname. Christ means the Anointed One. We are all anointed by the Holy Spirit. That is what we're celebrating next Sunday, Pentecost. Pentecost means 50th day. Ascension Day is 40 days after Easter. Think about that. We're transformed, and we will go on being transformed in this life and through death to our meeting with the risen Lord, our God. One other just final point to remember. We need to be clothed with the Holy Spirit. We can't do life on our own. I know that when I'm not connected, when I'm not praying enough, when I'm not meditating enough, if I'm not silent enough, I feel disconnected. If you are connected, you feel different, and you are different, because the Holy Spirit is enabling us, not only through transformation, but enabling us to be Christ to others and to proclaim. Now, proclaim we can only do through our lives, through the way we are. We can't do that on our own. We can't do it. We can only do it clothed with the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until you feel clothed with the Holy Spirit. Now, it's not a one-time thing. We go in and we go out. That's perfectly normal. But nonetheless, we need to know that outside the power of the Spirit, life jangles about. Always know when you're not in connection that we have an advocate with the Father who will pray for us. We're not aware of it, but even when we're discombobulated all over the place, Jesus is praying for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would touch our hearts, that you would indeed clothe us with your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit of God, and fill the hearts of your people, we pray. Amen.